Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
John, was that not a tragedy, or what this took place in Las Vegas, Nevada, where, you know, it's just historical. We've seen so many bad things happen so close together that people start thinking, especially this generation, that this is normal.
Yeah, or is it real?
Right.
Now, this is real. These are real lives. It's a massacre.
Life wasn't like this. This is an escalation of difficult times and tragedy and things are taking place.
One thing after the other.
You know, our previous president said, this is the new normal. And by God's grace, we're going to get back to that not being normal anymore. Because under his administration was beheadings, Christians being persecuted, golf games in the midst of all that. It was things we were having to show on VFN TV. We didn't want to do it. But if we don't look at what's going on, I think about James Foley and the things that happened. Anyway, so, you know, you think that's bad enough, but of course we still have the tragedy that took place in Puerto Rico. And our hearts break. And you might not know this, you need to know this, that Puerto Rico is not a state, it's a territory. Everybody that's a citizen in Puerto Rico, they're a citizen of America. They're American citizens, called a territory. And a lot of history to that, and we could probably put that up on the VFN torch, but either way, even if it wasn't even American citizens, we need to be there to help them out. But they're our citizens. Yeah, this is their country. And so we need to be there helping them out. But first, let's just take a look at the devastation and tragedy that took place in Puerto Rico.
This is Puerto Rico on a calm night in July 2017. Here it is again after Hurricane Maria in September. The storm's impact has been catastrophic. It was at its strongest when it was passing over the most populated parts of the island, which is home to about 3.4 million people. It knocked off Puerto Rico's power grid, and now it'll be months before most of the island has electricity again. And what's made recovery particularly hard is that the government has no money. That's partly because of its complex relationship with the U.S. mainland. Puerto Rico became a U.S. Commonwealth in 1952, but nearly half of all Americans don't know that people born in Puerto Rico are U.S. citizens. The island's economic downturn can be traced back to the 1960s and 70s, when a special tax break from Congress led U.S. companies to set up shop in Puerto Rico. Then, between 1993 and 2006, Congress phased out those tax breaks, and companies left the island in droves, taking thousands of jobs with them. Economic growth slowed to a crawl, and hordes of people started leaving the island. The number of Puerto Ricans living in the U.S. mainland doubled between 2005 and 2015. And as the tax base shrank, Puerto Rico went into massive debt to pay its bills. Today, it owes more than $70 billion, mostly to Wall Street creditors. In May of 2017, the island filed for protection similar to bankruptcy. Budgets for hospitals, schools, and roads were slashed. Another U.S. policy that led to Puerto Rico's economic turmoil is the Merchant Marine Act of 1920, or the Jones Act. It places huge tariffs on any foreign imports. Although President Trump suspended the Jones Act in the wake of Hurricane Maria, those costs have been passed down to Puerto Ricans for decades. Since Puerto Rico imports 84% of its food, people there often pay double what they would on the mainland for basic necessities. The high cost of living is one of the reasons 43% of residents live in poverty. Crucially, the island's financial woes have kept it from investing in the kind of modern, automated power plant technology that's characteristic of the mainland U.S., and that's going to make recovery difficult. Most power plants on the mainland rely on natural gas, with some coal, nuclear, and renewables. But Puerto Rico's old-fashioned plants still generate two-thirds of their power from burning oil, and all that oil has to be imported. In the aftermath of Hurricane Maria, the power plants are mostly intact, but nearly 80% of the transmission lines that carry power are down, and so are the roads that bring oil to the power plants. While the island's power plants are on the southern coast, most people live in the north, and between those two sit dense forests and mountains. Apart from the challenging terrain, Puerto Rico's electric utility company, PREPA, relies heavily on workers with extensive knowledge, and those workers have been leaving. Since 2012, 30% of PREPA's employees have retired or left for the mainland in search of better jobs. Electrical engineers from Puerto Rico can make about 27% more money on the U.S. mainland. According to its director, PREPA is on the verge of collapse because there's no personnel to operate it. And that was before the storm. Without technicians to repair all of these broken transmission lines, Puerto Ricans are expected to be without power for months, and the consequences could be dire. Without electricity to pump water into homes, it's difficult to find clean water for drinking and bathing. No air conditioning or fans can mean increased risk of heat stroke. And without refrigeration to keep insulin and other drugs from expiring, people are at risk of death. All of this means that millions of U.S. citizens, for the foreseeable future, will be living in conditions that we usually associate with places very far away.
That is such a tragedy, and I'm just so grateful. Isn't it amazing, John, that, you know, the opposite of everything good that's taking place, a lot of these media outlets and political leaning, they're not even paying attention to what's taking place in our country. And they, you know, our president has been excellent.
They're looking for every item to manipulate, to push an agenda.
But people's lives weigh in the balance. Yeah. Why would they be so hateful? Why would the Democratic Party and people that want to hurt our country, this other media outlets, why would they be so hateful towards the people in Puerto Rico? They need to be for getting them aid. And they're saying that, listen, thank God for our president. President Donald Trump went there, and he's there with the full forces of military, the lifeguards. As a matter of fact, this is a meeting he's holding with the governors and Congress and all that's there, Congress lady that's there. And I believe even Kelly's there, General Kelly's there. Mm. Generals are there. I mean, he has, for 3.5 million folks that are on the island, that he's bringing aid to them. And let's just join them now. We want to see good leadership in place. This is a president who cared about the citizens in Houston and Texas and Louisiana. He cared about the citizens in Florida when Irma hit there, and he cares about our citizens in Puerto Rico. As a matter of fact, let's go there right now. This is President Trump meeting with all the leaders that are going to make recovery possible in Puerto Rico.
Well, thank you very much. It was a great trip and a beautiful place. I've been to Puerto Rico many times, as I think most of you have known, and I've always loved it, and your weather is second to none, but every once in a while you get hit. And you really got hit. There's no question about it. I want to thank, in particular, some of the folks that have come here where really great danger was involved right at the beginning. I have to start with Brock. Where's Brock? Brock Long has been through a lot. We gave him an A-plus in Texas. We thought he could rest for a couple of days. But before he got any rest, he had Florida, right? And you had Louisiana, and you had other places. And by the way, Louisiana, we don't say it often, but Louisiana got hit very hard also, and they've been fantastic. But then he came to Florida, and that we gave another A-plus, and then all of a sudden we said there's another one heading out to Puerto Rico and to the U.S. Virgin Islands. But it wasn't one, it was two. And I was going to be here a week ago, if you remember. And that was the day of the hurricane. That was the day of the second hurricane. So Brock has been unbelievable. And this has been the toughest one. This has been a Category 5, which few people have ever even heard of, a Category 5 hitting land. But it hit land, and boy, did it hit land. So I want to thank you. I want to thank Elaine. Elaine, thank you very much. Fantastic. Acting Secretary. Elaine Duke has been incredible. Tom Bossert's here someplace. Tom, great job. Great job. And to all of my people, and I have to say, General Buchanan got here a few days ago, and there's no doubt about it, you are a general. There's a reason you're a general, right? But he's no games. That's what I said, give me a general. I don't want to have a general that plays games. And you've done a fantastic job. The whole team has been amazing. Your governor has been, who I didn't know, I heard very good things about him. He's not even from my party. And he started right at the beginning appreciating what we did. And he was tremendously supportive. And he knew the level of problem that you had at the beginning before and the level what happened with respect to the tremendous storms that hit your beautiful island. And Governor, I just want to tell you that right from the beginning, this governor did not play politics. He didn't play it at all. He was saying it like it was, and he was giving us the highest grades. And I want to, on behalf of our country, I want to thank you.
Really
I also want to thank your congresswoman, who actually represents the largest number of people of any congressperson in the United States. I know that. It's 3.5 million people, Jennifer, right? So Congresswoman Jennifer Gonzalez-Colon, who I've watched the other day, and she was saying such nice things about all of the people that have worked so hard. Jennifer, do you think you could say a little bit what you said about us today? And it's not about me. It's about these incredible people from the military to FEMA, the first responders. I mean, I've never seen people working so hard in my life. Perhaps you could say?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Congresswoman.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first thing is that before we were hit by Maria, we were hit by Hurricane Irma. And during that time, before the hurricane, he was FEMA acting together with a lot of employees. More than 4,000 people were here in the island from the different branches of the military, HHS, Navy, Army, FEMA, and all the staff working together before the hurricane hit. They were here before, during, after the first hurricane, and they continued to stay in the island, boots on the ground, during Maria. Same thing. I think we never got the level of communication between the federal government and the local government like never before. And we are in the path of the hurricanes. So we are used to receiving hurricanes, but never before a Category 5. The amount of devastation, it's unheard of. But during all of this time, we got the federal government by our side, doing the job with the people here, like you in the military, doing all that has been asked, all the questions and requests that the governor did, the president and his cabinet, accomplish it and send more people, and it's continued to send in more people, trucks, drivers, and resources. Thank you, Mr. President, for all you've been doing for the island.
Well, I want to thank you because you were really generous, and I saw those comments, and everybody saw those comments, and we really appreciate it. And you know, it's so important when you have men and women that have worked so hard and so long, and many of them came from two other catastrophic hurricanes. I mean, they came from Texas, they came from Louisiana, they came from Florida, and there was no, how many nights rest have you gotten? Zero in the last month, right?
This is day 43.
Yeah, all right, well, we're gonna keep them for another couple of weeks, and by that time, I think, you know, but we, come here. Special guy, I will tell you, special. Really good, really good. I also, in addition to Tom, I also want to thank Linda McMahon, small business. I always joke. I said she's in charge of small business, but small business is massive business when you add it all up. And she has done an incredible job, built a great company with her husband, Vince McMahon. And I wanted her so badly for this position because there's nobody that knows how to build a company like those. And let me tell you, like this woman. She has been amazing in business, and now she's doing an incredible job as the administrator. We want to thank you, Linda, very much. And Mick Mulvaney is here, right there, and Mick is in charge of a thing called budget. Now, I hate to tell you, Puerto Rico, but you've thrown our budget a little out of whack because we've spent a lot of money on Puerto Rico, and that's fine. We've saved a lot of lives. If you look at the every death is a horror, but if you look at a real catastrophe like Katrina, and you look at the tremendous hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that died, and you look at what happened here with really a storm that was just totally overpowering. Nobody's ever seen anything like this. Now, what is your death count as of this moment? 17?
16 certified.
16 people certified. 16 people versus in the thousands. You can be very proud of all of your people, all of our people working together. 16 versus literally thousands of people. You can be very proud. Everybody around this table and everybody watching can really be very proud of what's taken place in Puerto Rico. I also want to pay a very special thanks to the Navy. Who's here from the Navy? Who do we have, General? Who do we have? What a job. So you have ships all over the place. I saw them flying in. I said, boy, this looks like very big stuff. And the job you've done getting things here, there are no docks. There have been. We're just in the process of opening them up. They were just devastated. But there are no docks, no nothing. And the way you got this stuff on shore is incredible. So I want to thank the Navy. Would you like to say something on behalf of the Navy?
Sir, your Navy Marine Corps team is here to respond on the Expeditionary Strike Group 2. We're immediately deployed with four Navy ships to get here to handle anything that happened in Burma, and then immediately repositioned and was able to respond to Puerto Rico right after Maria. So the Navy Marine Corps team was happy to come here and save lives, and coordinate with FEMA, with the governor of Puerto Rico, and to demonstrate our ability to come from the sea, air, and land. Thank you very much, Ron.
Thank you, and thank you very much. And you know, I don't have to even mention the Marines because we have General Kelly. Where's General Kelly? Where is our General Kelly? He likes to keep a low profile. Look at him sitting in the back. But boy, is he watching. You have no idea how he's... General Kelly, come up here. So General Kelly's a four-star. Not a bad general, right? You don't get any better than General Kelly. But on behalf of the Marines, I'll tell you, they've done some job, General. Now, can we also mention Army, and can we also mention some people that I really got to know and respect even more in Texas, and that's the Coast Guard. What a job the Coast Guard has done throughout this whole ordeal. I mean, they would go right into the middle of that. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't want to be doing it, but I want to thank everybody. I want to thank the Coast Guard. They are special, special, very brave people. And a lot of people got to see the real Coast Guard during this incredible trouble. And especially, I think, here and in Texas was incredible what they did. So thank you all very much. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Really appreciate it. Would you like to say something on behalf of your men and women?
Sure, I'm representing the Air Force.
No, I know that.
No, it's been a tremendous team effort partnering with FEMA and NORTHCOM, providing support not only to Conus, but then also to the U.S. Virgin Islands and then to Puerto Rico specifically, trying to open up the airfield so that we could get, as an island, to get the majority of the supplies in initially with the people and personnel setting up across the island so we can set up the logistic networks so we could really get to the people that are the most hurt and devastated by the catastrophe they experienced.
And the runways now are pretty open.
Yes, sir. We have four major runways that are fully open and operational. We've flown about 700 plus strategic air authorities to and from the Conus here on the island of Puerto Rico to provide life-sustaining support.
Amazing job. Yes, amazing job. So amazing that we're ordering hundreds of millions of dollars worth of new airplanes for the Air Force, especially the F-35. Do you like the F-35?
It's a game-changing, technological, awesome airplane.
I said, how does it do it in fights? And how do they do in fights with the F-35? He said, we do very well. You can't see it. You can't see it. So it's hard to fight a plane that you can't see, right?
Sure, we like that.
But that's an expensive plane that you can't see.
Absolutely.
And as you probably heard, we cut the price very substantially, something that other administrations would never have done, that I can tell you. So thank you very much. Where is the Coast Guard? Who can speak on behalf of the Coast Guard?
Oh.
Who can
here.
Speak? Where is our Coast Guard representative?
Coast Guard Russell right here.
Come here, get over here.
Secretary.
Come here. Come here, my man. On behalf of the Coast Guard, just say a few words. The people have been amazing. Go ahead.
I don't think there's anything that the men and women of the Coast Guard would rather do than help the people of Puerto Rico, our fellow American citizens. For us, this is what we get to do on a daily basis, and getting to help our fellow citizens is just what our duty is all about. So it's our pleasure to be here, sir.
Well, you know, in Texas, it came in, it did devastation, then went right out into the coast, then it came in and out. It came in three times. It would load up with water and come in. Nobody's ever seen water like that. And the Coast Guard would follow it. It goes in, and they'd be right behind it, and then they'd move. They saved 16,000 lives in Texas. 16, sure. Hard to believe. 16 between the helicopters and all of them. But the Coast Guard itself saved, in Texas, 16,000 lives. And they went right through that hurricane, and there aren't too many people that would have done it, believe me. Would you thank everybody for
yes,
me?
Sir.
Okay?
Thank you.
President,
we also have our Customs and Border Protection all sitting over here.
Say a few words. Please, say a few words. Customs and Border Protection.
Okay.
Say a few words, please. Don't be shy. What I would like to do, you want to stand up? Go ahead. That's okay. Stand up. Go ahead.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
You did a great job. Senator, I just want to also add, Rick Perry is here someplace. Rick, governor of Texas for many years, 14 years, did a great job. Head of energy. And Scott Pruitt from Environmental is here. And doing an amazing, really an amazing job. We appreciate it, fellas. Thank you very much. Governor, would you say a few words?
Of course. Well, first of all, Mr. President, thank you for being here. Your presence over here, cabinet members, support the notion that we've been talking about, that this is a united effort. This is a united effort. We need to work together in order to overcome the many challenges that we had here in Puerto Rico. I want to personally thank you, Mr. President, because you know, over the course of the past week, you have called essentially every day to make sure that we have what we need, make sure that the resources are over here. And I want to let the people of Puerto Rico and the people of the United States know that you have always responded to us. And although this is a big challenge, we are convinced that working together with our local government, FEMA, the administrator, the DOD, and all of the assets we have here, it is a challenging time. We need to do more, but we will be able to build Puerto Rico stronger than ever before. That is our commitment. I just wanted to let you know that right now, our forces are working so that they can deliver food, water to the people of Puerto Rico, so that diesel and fuel can get to the hospitals. Now, it is a challenging time. It is a situation without precedent, but with strong leadership, with your continued support, Mr. President, with the continued support of everybody around this table, the mayors that have played a critical role in this development, our legislature that has been helpful, and all of the assets in government. I can tell you, Mr. President, that we will not only come out of this, we will stabilize Puerto Rico, and we will build it stronger than ever. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Governor.
Thank you.
That was great. God bless.
That is so awesome to see our president go in and bring all the resources. You know, General Kelly, all the governor was just talking. That was the governor's wife on the side of the first lady, Melania, mm-hmm. probably his daughter too, I don't know. But the mayors and just everybody's coming together, the Coast Guard, over 16,000 lives rescued. I know we're going to come to the end of this program, but I want you to understand that not only is the nation there, not only is President Trump there with his cabinet and the federal resources, but Operation Blessing is there.
Yes.
Here, bring that camera to me right now. Listen. Operation Blessing is there, and you can actually partner with Operation Blessing and get resources. It's the most instrumental organization for getting volunteers together to be able to impact tragic zones. They've been there in Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma. They've been in Texas, Florida, and now they're in Puerto Rico. As a matter of fact, let's go there. This is what Operation Blessing is doing right now in Puerto Rico.
The situation is hard, it's difficult, and many people lost everything. We have no water, no electricity, but we have to be positive. There's people that have lost everything, and we're still here, and we have the will and the power to continue.
It's been over a week since Hurricane Maria made its devastating landfall in Puerto Rico, crippling the island's infrastructure. They are without electricity, gas, and water, and now food is becoming scarce. With stores closed and no real way to cook food, hunger is a real crisis. Operation Blessing is partnering with one of the first bakeries to reopen after the hurricane and making bread for the people.
Many of these people can prepare their own foods in the house, or because they have no electricity, there's no water, there's no gas. And we have the opportunity to bless these people. And in that way, we feel blessed too. When you see people that have nothing, and you can bring them a little piece of bread, you know, to the children, to refugees, it's really a blessing.
Not only is this bread available at the bakery, but we are also sending loaves to a relief kitchen being run by celebrity chef Jose Andres to support the work he is doing. On top of providing food, Operation Blessing is also working with the mayor of San Juan, distributing solar lights.
It's not a cube of light. It's a cube of hope. It's a blessing really in disguise. The way they looked at each other and the way they noticed. And you know what? This is going to free me. I have a son on my side, and now I can have light in my house. A little kid said, look, Mom, I can read again. Can you imagine? I can read again. But the best thing and the best part was the people just, you look down the street and there's light all over the place. It's just hope and a little cute, so thank you very much. And you know what? I think for me the great takeaway is that nobody called you. No one called you, you just came. Because as David told me, you all have a calling, so thank you. Thank God for using you to give us hope and give us life.
That melts your heart. Thank God for Operation Blessing and Samaritan's Purse. Connect with them. Go to that website. Connect with them. Give, pray. We thank God for all the ones that are in Operation Blessing, the churches that are volunteering to work with Operation Blessing. And it was the givers to Operation Blessing that made those lights possible for the people there. And the mayor happened to be there at the particular time. But it's good to see our president totally supporting Puerto Rico in every aspect they needed.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.